Blog Talk Radio.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of faith became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Charles on the Spirit of Truth Revealed. I hope you're having a wonderful day today, wherever you are in this precious season. And I just want to say thank you for listening in and calling in today on this wonderful Saturday. But first, let's set our minds to receive the Word of God, and then I'm going to pray. The Bible actually talks about continuing to fellowship with one another, remembering that sin itself separates from God. We need to continue to walk by the Spirit, not by our what? Not by the sinful nature. So we need to continue to confess our sins, which means, to admit or acknowledge our wrongdoings to the God the Father. So if we remember to, the Bible states in 1 John 1:19, as if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all of unrighteousness. So I'm going to give you a quick time of silent prayer to focus on yourselves and to prepare yourself to hear this message, today's message that I have, and then I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You, we give You thanks, and we continue to say thank You, Father, for all the things that You have done to us in the past and also in the future, to continue to know You and to come closer to You. As we continue to study the Word of God and understanding Your grace and Your mercy, Father, Heavenly Father, we glorify You. And we also want to pray for the sick, Father, that are out there. Sickness is not of You. As it relates to things that are not of You, You are a Redeemer, the Heavenly Father. So we want to pray for the sick to get well, and all of sickness and disease are these things that are not of You, Father. And we also want to pray for the safety of others. There are many missionaries, Father, that are out there proclaiming the name of Christ and abroad. And we want to pray for them and their safety as they continue to do that. And we also want to pray for the leadership of this country, Father. The Bible says to pray for Your leadership as we do that, and also pray for the peace of Israel, as stated in Psalms 122:6. And also pray for me and also the listeners as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is great. So I'm glad that you're listening in on what I have to say today. And it's really good. And the things that I want to just touch on briefly, and it's not going to be long, and I should have set the time a little bit longer. I think I set it for 15 minutes, but we're going to just go until, I just want to go until I get the message over across today. So anyway, what I want to do is I want to talk about, this is very important, I want to talk about what it means to be in the, what it means as it relates to Revelations. Revelation, it kind of touches on the things of the book of Revelation, but the end times where we are now and what God is doing as it relates to Revelation. I titled this End Time Revelation, but there's a catch. It's what God is revealing. What God does, He does in succession. God does things, of course, back to back, but He also shows you, in a sense, that God has patterns. God is very, very, He shows you patterns so that you will believe. And actually, when it comes to prophecy, typically the Jews, or as it relates to Judaism, they see patterns. They don't look at prophecy as a one-time event. They don't look at, okay, something coming up, and then it happens, if a prophet prophesies something, they don't see it as an event. They see God as patterns. So what I'm going to talk about tonight are patterns. It's very important, because what you're seeing today is what you're going to see, what, in the future. But these things, what we see now, we have to be prepared. And what? We have to understand that these things that are coming true, what God is going to do tomorrow, right? Which brings what? It brings faith to the believer. It also brings people, you know, coming to Christ. But we also have to pray of what? Of what's to come. But what I wanted to show you is what God is doing now as it relates to revelation, right? So when I'm going to talk about, as it relates to revelation, are there actually the topics that I have, and it's really simple. It's really simple as it relates to the prophetic sense. What does this have to do with as it relates to prophecy? We have to remember that as it relates to prophecy and as it relates to seeing what's being through my spiritual eyes as far as what God is showing me. And actually, I did have a vision last night. I guess I'll go over that later before we end. But that is actually in the Bible too. But you have to know where you are as it relates to the time being here now. You also have to understand, where we fit as far as eschatology. But anyway, so today what I wanted to talk about was just to briefly go over as far as what we see today as it relates to what's being revealed and how this information that we're seeing in today's news, how that actually is being gives you insight to what you're going to see tomorrow, right? So that's really the big focus. So I've actually had a couple of headlines, and there's many. I can continue to speak upon these things, but that's not the focus. The focus is taking a look at what I'm going to talk about now and how that's going to relate to end time prophecy and what I see today. But what's tremendous is that as God shows me these visions, I understand where we're at as it relates to the Bible. When you take a look at it, when you dissect the Bible, actually you can take each book of the Bible, and we are actually somewhere in time as it relates to the Bible. I mean, I can go on, but I listed just one in Revelation. We're right now in the book of Revelation. It is somewhat chronological. You can take the flow, and it tells you. John summarizes, you know, primarily a lot of those things, but we're actually in chapter. We're waiting on chapter. Four. So we're impending on chapter 4, which is he sees himself raptured into the. I'm going to say rapture, but he sees himself go into the things of heaven, and that's what the church is waiting on right now. Revelation chapter 1 is an intro, and it defines a lot of the things that are going to be in Revelation. But chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, Christ talks about the church as the seven churches. Christ himself has a letter to the seven churches, but also to the temple of God, which is us, right, who is in the body of Christ. And then that you'll see the what? That next chapter is the rapture of the church, is the rapture of the people or the temple in which you people have, our bodies are the temples of God. So you'll see this be taken up in Christ being with us. And then, of course, the rest of most part of the chapter Revelation has to do with Israel, and then Christ returns around chapter 18-ish. But anyway, so as it relates to Bible, that's where we are. But you can see that in other books of the Bible too. But anyway, what's most important is that what God is showing is he's revealing. And actually, I have it in a couple of areas. In the secular world, in the I call it the natural world that we view it as today, is Say, for example, Bill Cosby. I have that. I had over 30 years. I don't know how long it's been, but I just put the 30 years as an example. But what is true is that what? Bill Cosby, I put a quote on there, but a lot of people, I don't know if, I think it's up to 20-something people, talked about, you know, Bill Cosby, his sexual assaults. Now, listen, does it, I mean, me personally, I'm not saying Bill Cosby has performed this or not. That's not the point. The point of this message is that Bill Cosby, these allegations have taken so long, but this is being revealed. So I'm only looking at this as a revelation, something that Bill Cosby did for many years that's being uncovered. That's what I'm looking at this at, right? So as it relates to Bill Cosby, this is being revealed, right? I'm not looking at it, you know, as far as being a, you know, a cop or a judge or anything of that nature. I want you to look at this as this being revealed. In other words, this was covered up at one time, assuming this is true. So as we see this, well, what is God doing? What is he performing? He is showing you that these things are being revealed. I also put on there, I think it was Amy Pascal, as the, and then the next message is, I think, Amy Pascal, which was the CEO of Sony Pictures. There's been a lot of things with, you know, Hollywood recently in the past couple of years, but I don't know if you remember the CEO, Pascal, steps down because they someone has hacked, or a group of people has hacked her email, and they became public, right? And so it was tracking information on what the emails was revealing about her. And she didn't, you know, she was very honest about, you know, what was in the email. But there was revealing information in that email. I'm not going to state here what was in that email. That's not the point. The point is that her email, what, was, you know, it revealed something about her that was hidden, or at least that she was covering up, in a sense. So, and you're thinking, well, Charles, I mean, heck, you know, this could be anyone. My point is that you're seeing this in the limelight. This isn't just day-by-day people. These are people are of influence. Right? That's what I'm getting at. So these people are in the news. These people are of influence. They have tremendous impact on the success of a company or of a corporation or of a mindset of a lot of people who believe, right? So Bill Cosby, a lot of people know Bill Cosby, and even Sony Pictures, the CEO of Sony Pictures, who, you know, of course, make movies, Hollywood. So they have a serious impact on the TV business, or a serious impact on people, of course, right? So how is this important? Look at what God is doing. He's revealing, right? I'm not pointing about it being wrong, because you'll start to lose the message. The message is that there's something that's hidden, that's being revealed. It's being uncovered. It's being what? It's being revealed. Same thing. I have another one with the NCAA just recently, with the basketball team Syracuse, Jim Boeheim. Jim Boeheim is probably number two as it relates to the total number of wins in the history of the NCAA basketball, second to Coach K from the University of Duke, and I think at the snapshot, he's probably only maybe 150 games off. Maybe I'm not for sure. I think the article that I was pointing to, I can't remember Coach K's total wins, but I think at the point when Coach K broke 1,000, when Coach K was at 1,000, I think Jim Boeheim was maybe at 950-ish, maybe 940. So he was probably about, that's 60, but I think it's more 70-ish. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that they found out that Jim was doing, it was revealed there was some wrongdoing. I'm not going to go over that. You can read the article. It's you can go to ESPN.com or you can do a Google search. But the thing is that whatever he was doing wrong, assuming that these allegations are true, and it seems like the NCAA have penalized him for that, then what? It's being revealed. And actually, they're thinking about docking, I think, over 104, which in which he would drop down to the number 6. And again, the 3rd and 4th and 5th are no longer coaches. So he would probably, in his lifetime, never catch the number 1 spot for the NCAA. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that what? It's being revealed. It's being revealed. So what God is showing you, that the revelation of things coming up. God is revealing these things now. And so what does that mean to you and I? What does that mean of the of the future in general? Well, wrongdoings will be revealed of many people and kindreds. The Bible uses kindreds. So what does that mean? That means to you, if you're doing something wrong, is going to be revealed, right? And that's phenomenal, because things that you try to do and cover up are now going to be what? Revealed. So how does that relate to in the biblical sense? So God is showing us in the secular world, but God is also showing us from a biblical perspective. So the real Mount Sinai, I put some examples. Things are being revealed in the past that are in the Bible. Charles, say that again. Yes, I'll say it again. Things that have been hidden up, Satan has tried to hide up as it relates to the biblical sense, God is revealing. I don't know if you remember. I didn't put that on here, but I don't know if you remember. In Qumran, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, what are the Dead Sea Scrolls? Long story short, the Dead Sea Scrolls, they have found in Hebrew, the whole entire book of Isaiah. And this is in Hebrew. So if you go to almost literally exact, it was exact, almost 100% exact. I think parts that weren't exact, it was probably chipped or something in an area that they couldn't hash out. But this is the oldest artifact in the world known to man. A complete set, a complete, book or writing that's been verified that's this old. And again, I don't want to say how old it is, because I know it's at least, I believe, 2,000 years old, of course, the day of Christ. But Isaiah, of course, was before, I think he was anywhere 500 to 800 years before even Christ. So this was, this was at least 2,000 years old. And what's astonishing that it was exact to the Hebrew text. So if you get a Hebrew Bible and you look at the book of Isaiah, I mean, it's almost verbatim. I mean, I don't want to use those terms to downplay it, but it was nearly exact. So that was being revealed. That was a few years ago. That was, I don't know, maybe I'm going to say 20, 30 years ago. I'm not for sure. But the Holy Spirit has started that. But what else has has been found in the biblical realm? Well, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai, there's a really good, if you do a search on the real Mount Sinai, you're seeing more and more people finding out. But Mount Sinai is actually in Saudi Arabia. From what we thought was in Egypt, I put a couple of maps on there. But what we thought as it relates to Mount Sinai was in Egypt near the peninsula, which I actually visited about 3 years ago. I kind of knew it wasn't the real Mount Sinai, but trying to get into Saudi Arabia at that time would probably be difficult. I was actually at Sharm el-Sheikh, which was the southern part of Egypt. But anyway, so the search for Mount Sinai by Steve Gerson, you can get the CD, the DVD. It's really well put together. It has a map. It shows you, even to non-believers, but even to people of Christ, Christians, I mean, we should be able to take a look at that and understand, wow, the new Mount Sinai is there. So you could see where, you know, as the Bible states, you would come to the sea springs and the 12 pillars and these things. You can actually map out and see these pictures that they've taken, what the Bible states that would happen. And you can truly see, and even at the end, the mountain where God had ascended and the darkness thereof, they actually have that guarded. And so one question is, why do they have that guarded? They have it guarded because people know that that's the true location where Moses was as it relates to Mount Sinai. So anyway, that's, I mean, God has revealed that, right? God has now let that be revealed that was hidden. Right now, the first part, again, I was talking about people's lives in the secular world, how that's being revealed. And also, I can talk, I also going to just briefly talk about the Temple Mount. What's instrumental is that the Temple Mount has to be built as it relates to the last coming days, as it relates to the seven-year revelation. I mean, tribulation, I'm sorry. The seven-year tribulation. That temple has to be built. There's many references of this. I'm not going to go over it now. But over the last 2,000 years, the temple was assumed to be near the Temple Mount, near where we see in Jerusalem the Gold Dome. Actually, that's a Muslim Allah's Mosque. That's a temple. But the Jews, of course, wants to build their Temple Mount. I mean, their temple right there on the Temple Mount. And, of course, the Muslim world, you know, is making that a little bit difficult for them to do that. However, what's being revealed is that the Temple Mount may not be what the actual spot in which they need to build it, and which we once thought of. So that's really good. So by there's a book. I don't know if he has a CD out, but it's by Robert Cornuke. I actually tried to see them when there was a prophecy convention up north in Idaho. But anyway, so it was really good. So take a look at this. As you'll see, it's really good. But anyway, so what's next, right? We see these things happening as it relates to God revealing these things from a biblical perspective. But God is also revealing things of people or items or things of major influence, right? So you can see this. Right, I mean, I'm not making this up. You can actually go out there and see this in the newspaper, right, or look at it in the news. And I can go on and on about war, too, but that's not my point. My point is that God is revealing these things. Why? It's because the ultimate revelation. What will be next? We're going to continue to see these things. And what I've actually had visions of as well is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant itself. Remember, God told Moses to build this Ark of the Covenant, and what it is to house what? The two tablets, commandments, Aaron's rod. And there's some, you know, speculation as far as what's inside there. But primarily, the main thing in the Ark of the Covenant are the two tablets of the Ten Commandments that God has what? Wrote in what? On his finger in stone, which are the two tablets of the Ten Commandments that are to be in the Ark of the Covenant. And why do I say this? I'm saying this because me personally, have had a vision of this artifact, of these things. I don't want to say, where, and that's not the point. When I first came into Christ, I had no clue what it was. But anyway, the Ark of the Covenant we're going to see. And when we see these things in the two tablets, of course, we know that what? We know Christ is on his way. Right? Because when you see these things, there's a purpose for the Ark of the Covenant. It's for the what? It's for the temple. And when the temple gets built, and when the Ark of the Covenant has to be there for this temple, now that they found out where to build this temple at, they could possibly build. Of course, I haven't followed it, but of course you have to get buy-in from the Jews. But if they move, I mean, they have all the articles that they need. Of course, with the exception of the Ark of the Covenant, the Jews actually believe that. I mean, they do have the Ark of the Covenant, but there's parts of Africa, of course, near Ethiopia. There's a good article on that. I think it's also the same, maybe Robert Carnoux talks about the Ark of the Covenant too as well. So there's two areas that actually say that they have the Ark of the Covenant. The Jews have mentioned they have the Ark of the Covenant somewhere hidden away, and they're going to reveal it, you know, as it relates to the temple. They don't. They mention they don't want to bring it out because it'll start a holy war. But then there's also speculation that near Ethiopia, I think near Axum, A-X-U-M, that they have stored the Ark of the Covenant, or they have it as well. So that's very easy literature that you can see out online. They both say that they have it. So in essence, someone is really not telling the truth in actuality, right? But I'm actually here to say that I've had a vision of where it is, and I really don't know. I mean, when I was actually coming to Christ, this was back in 2005-ish. Well, when my first vision, I mean, the instrumental visions that started coming was around 2005. I didn't understand. But anyway, I've had many visions that are being revealed, and I'm getting interpretation thereof. That's why I'm starting this now. Typically, my forefront thoughts was in the past was a lot about Christ because I was coming into, but now focusing as it relates to the things of prophecy is because of the fact that these things are being revealed to me. They're being revealed to what I've been writing down the last past whatever 7, 8 years, I guess 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 9 years of visions that I have in a book. Not knowing most of them, but now it's, you know, as I continue to study and learn the things of God, they're being revealed to me. So anyway, the Ark of the Covenant, I truly believe in what paths that I've seen. There's a couple other things that needs to be found, but these are the things that we're going to find, not next, but these are the things that we're going to find in the near future. Okay, Ark of the Covenant, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, again, of Moses. And where we are as it relates to Revelation chapter 5, of course, you know, the impending rapture in 4, and then 5, moving on in, I'll have another session on that, as it relates to Israel. So these are very important. These are very important times that we're living in. And I'm making this, you know, I'm stating this claim for a reason. I'm stating this claim is for you to understand as believers and, oh, of course, to the non-believers. I mean, the reason why I say non-believers is because there are certain things even the Holy Spirit gives as it relates to speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a sign to the non-believer, as we see in Acts. But anyway, this message comes across to all believers, of course, in Christ, but also non-believers. Non-believers in the sense that you can see this, these things happening. You know that these things happen. Bill Cosby. Pascal, the NCAA, there's many others. I could have listed 10 to 15 others, but for the sake of time, I just doing that to so that it would, you know, get you started into understanding these things. But not only in that world, it's also in the biblical perspective. We see the Mount Sinai. We see the temple. We see all of these things coming to, and I can list 15, 20 things as well. But depending upon certain levels of understanding of what's, you know, scripture on the Bible, sometimes that could be difficult. There has to be some explanation of things. But anything, I think this is real simple in a sense, is Mount Sinai. A lot of people believe it's in Egypt, but it's not. It's actually in Saudi Arabia. Actually, the Bible talks about Midian. And as you can clearly see at the bottom tip, that the Bible said he couldn't go anywhere, and so he had to cross. And so if he was over in Africa, Moses could have continued all the way down to the tip of Africa, but he did not. The Bible said he came to an end point where he couldn't go anywhere, so he crossed the river into Saudi Arabia. You can clearly see that, and you can actually go to Google. You can see if you Google it, look at the approximate area. You can see there's very shallow water. Anyway. What I'm getting at is that these revelations are going to continue. And what God is ultimately doing is going to show you the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Even the book of Revelation is not a book of scaring, you know, trying to scare you at all. But the book of Revelation has to do with revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. John even mentions that in the first set of chapters, is that, you know, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. So these things that are happening, it's very simple that what's going to be revealed. So I wanted to share that today as it relates to things being revealed. It's very instrumental. And once we take a look at these things, what you have to do in your life to continue to do the things of God. Because if you're doing wrong things, listen, people. If you're doing wrong things, it will be revealed. I'm talking the just and the unjust. If you're a person of Christ, if you claim to be, you know, a spiritual leader in Christ, or if you claim to be, you know, these things of God, and you have something that you don't, that you're not, you know, as it relates to the standpoint of hiding something, it will be revealed. The just and the unjust, it will be revealed. So what do you do? Well, of course, as a believer, you know, repent. Ask God, nothing that the blood can't provide. You know, I've always started off as it relates to sinful things. It's for us to repent. So it's repentance, right? Stop these things. And then pray to God and be honest with yourself and to continue to move on. Because as these things, it's not time to, very serious times we're in. Also, the Bible states, and Luke is what? That we have, it's in the day, so we should what? Continue to pray. Continue to pray so that these things will not overtake us. So what I want to do now is always want to give the opening is to give yourself to Christ. These things are very important in these troublous times. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So this is important. It's important to be saved. And what it means to be saved, it's very simple. In the fact that Jesus Christ, we're all born into sin, right? We're born into sin. We have a sinful nature. Adam missed that for us. But there was one man. His name was Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, that was righteous. He was committed no sin. So in Romans, Paul mentions that there's one man, Adam, all sinned. Mankind sinned. But there was one man that did not sin, who made all righteous. And you believing on Christ, you become righteous. Because it's through that process that Adam sinned and it was not of you, but you become sinner. You need something to, you need some type of redemption because you were born into sin. You didn't do it. We understand that. God understand that. So he what? John 3:16, he sent his son, right? He sent his son. So that if you what shall ever believe in him, that you will not perish. And Jesus the Christ is righteous. So when you believe on him and you confess this, you become righteous. And that's a way of what? To be saved. It's that simple. It's that simple. So what I want to do is I just want to read this briefly. Follow my words. Say this with your heart. To accept Christ into your life. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins and rose victorious over death. I ask you to forgive me all of my sins. I turn from my sin today. only to follow Jesus Christ all the days of my life. Lord, I give you my all of my pain, all of my hurts, all of my fears, and all of my infirmities. Today I receive healing in my life. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, from this day forward, I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. So if you said those words, those warm felt words in your heart, and you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose the third day for your sins, for you and I, you are what is called saved. Your spirit is baptized. God takes the Holy Spirit and baptizes your spirit into the body of Christ, and you are what is called saved. Your spirit dies no more. You continue to renew your mind, and you continue to not do the things of the flesh. Your flesh is not what? Your flesh is still your flesh. You have not put on a new name. You have not been resurrected from the flesh. But when Christ returns and you see his glory, then in 1 Thessalonians 4, of course, you will see what? You will see the resurrection, and your flesh will be rejuvenated. But anyway, that's the takeaway here, is that it's important to continue to spread the word, continue to spread the gospel. As it relates to churches, pray about a local church that God can touch you to go to. My say about churches is that all churches are different. Christ even mentioned Paul. We have to remember that Paul wrote the New Testament. In the New Testament, he wrote the 13 letters to the seven churches. There were only two that got a good report. So five of the seven churches were not doing well. So we can say today that there's also a certain percent of churches that are not doing so well. But that's okay. Not that that's okay for them not to do well, but that's okay for you to understand that not all churches are doing well, because God can lead you to the church in which you need to go to grow and develop, because God wants you to grow and develop. So that's good. So continue to pray. Have God look into your heart and, you know, and show you and lead you into the church that he wants you to. Now, the thing about the body, yes, our body is the temple. There are, as it resides, there is no, I mean, well, let me talk about that for a second. The thing is that is it wrong to go to a church? Absolutely not. In the Bible, in Hebrews, it talks about going to a church. And first of all, if Paul said our body is the temple, but he was still writing to the churches, he would have told us, you know, from the front, hey, don't go to churches. There wouldn't be any letters. I mean, does that make sense? In other words, it's okay to go to church because of the fact that Paul was writing to the churches to get better, to be leaders. Right. Even though our body is the temple, he meant that because of the Paul had mentioned that is because it was the purpose of the Holy Spirit. If you go back and look at the temple is designed. There was three main areas. There was the outer court. There's the inner court, and then there's the holiest of holies. God would only ascend through the holiest of holies, and only one person, the priest, could go in one time out of the year. But anyway, so one priest would atone for multiple sins, even though we do the sacrifices. But there was only one priest to go into the holiest of holies. That's where God the Father ascended, as relates to the tabernacle, as relates to Solomon's temple, as relates to all these things. So what signifies that temple is even what I stated today. God shows you things in the past for the front. It's a type. It's a type and a shadow of things to come. But anyway, our body can be the outer court, for example. Our mind or our decision process is the inner court, and then our spirit, we're three parts. Our spirit can be signified as the holiest of holies. So God does not need a temple. Our body is the temple because we can receive the Holy Spirit. So if you and I are now privy to the Holy Spirit, our bodies are the temple. Our physical bodies can be a temple to do these things of God, and we don't. There's no, you know, there's no physical temple that we need to receive redemption or, you know, the Holy Spirit or a priest in that sense. Jesus Christ is our high priest. The Bible mentions that in Hebrews. So don't get that confused. Church, yes, we can continue to go to the church. Yeah, our body's a temple. Yeah, absolutely. Because it was the fact that we can receive the Holy Spirit. It's still good to go out to the church. Why? Because you can still use the church as a fellowship hall. There's purposes for the church. It's stated in Hebrews. You want to fellowship with other people. You want to, you know, edify and build up the saints. I mean, there's many reasons for why you want a church. But our bodies, is our body the church as well? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit can dwell here. Paul mentions when there's two or three gathered together, yet what? There I am, talking about Christ, the Holy Spirit as well. So don't get that confused. Don't, because we have one, we don't need the other. Absolutely not. Don't think that way. We should think that we need all, you know, more the merrier, right? So we need churches. We need people with the Holy Spirit resident in them to spread the word of God. We need all of it, right? So don't get confused with that. I think sometimes some people kind of downplay church or different types of churches. There's reasons for that. But God also, Paul and also Christ in Revelation 2 and 3 reminded us about these things. So if there's a certain type of group or denomination that may be doing something wrong, you got to check their love, right? So the main thing is that when they operate in the gifts, if it's, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not knocking different type of churches, but if they do something and they weigh heavily upon a certain gift and they're not doing it in love, Paul mentions that. So we have to be careful of that, right? If we think, you know, we're holier than thou, and if you can't do this, you know, you're different. We got to be careful with that, right? Because the main component is love, and that's what God is. That John states, you know, that God is love. So when we do these things in love, we can become a light for others. But anyway, so I hope this message has been a blessing, and I hope you can actually use this and continue to. Think of the things of God and know the things of God and continue to, you know, live your life accordingly too, because it's important. Christ is returning very soon. And in these visions and forefront things that I have, I love to share because prophecy is really, sometimes it could be really confusing as far as what the purpose of a prophet is. And I think I went over that briefly. I may have another, may never have a session on that. Prophecy is not really to scare anyone, you know, and try to predict. Prophecy is, the purpose is not to predict. The thing is that the office of the prophet, as relates to the New Testament, absolutely is there, right? The body of Christ includes prophets. It includes apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, right? And other areas as well. To what? The purpose is to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to carry out the word of Christ, right? And to gather the people, you know, as relates to believe them in Christ, and which we call the church or this church age. Prophets in the Old Testament, it's very simple. They were typically called servants. They were seers, and God typically used them for repentance as well. So we know God used prophets to primarily Israel, the northern and southern part, but he also used it for Gentile nations. Gentile nations that were really bad, that we know of, Sodom and Gomorrah, and that we know of Nineveh, and which God destroyed. So what I'm getting at is that they were actually servants, and servants didn't know what their master was up to. So and even though God had used them for certain purposes and certain reasons to do his will, they typically may not have known what God was truly up to. And so Jesus mentions this in the New Testament. He says, I call you friends. Because Jesus says servants, you know, may not know what their master's up to, but I call you friends because you know of, you know, my intentions. And we can see that that's what happened to Paul. When he was on the road to Damascus, Christ spoke to him, Jesus Christ himself, and said, why do you persecute me? And then Jesus tells him the purpose. He says, hey, I have a job for you. I want you to graft in the Gentiles. So Paul's primary message in the New Testament was to the Gentiles. And Peter's primary message, Peter who walked with Jesus, his primary message was to the what? Was to the Jews. So Peter's main focus was the Jews, and Paul's main focus was the Gentiles. So God, I mean, Jesus Christ had let him in on that, right? So he was apostle. Apostle is a sent one. So the primary difference, there's really no difference, but the primary difference between as a prophet as it relates to Jesus Christ is that God will let what? Christ know. Of course, yet they are one of yet the same, but Christ would know, will show to the prophet of what's to come, and they would understand the intentions thereof, and they would know how to prophesy. But there's different characteristics for prophets too as well. They have to live a life of as it relates to other things of some level of obscurity as it relates to the secular world. And if you look in the Old Testament, they were God had them do some serious things as it relates to not being of the world. And you still see these same characteristics if you're called into the office of a prophet from Jesus Christ, or called from God the Father as it relates to that which is governed upon faith. But then you also have the Holy Spirit as it relates to prophecy. As the Holy Spirit wills, he can give prophecy to someone, you know, to a believer that that could prophesy, you know, temporarily too as well. So it depends who gives the gift. Anyway, so I thank you for listening. This is tremendous. Any questions, please call in. I have no problem sharing with you. There's a lot of things, actually. I have a lot of dreams and visions. And for those who have dreams and visions, I will, you know, we can talk about those as well. And as far as interpretation, it takes time to, as it relates to interpretation, all interpretation is from the Father. But as you continue to learn the Bible and continue to look at patterns that God gives in visions, you're able to interpret the visions and be able to prophesy or able to help someone out as that vision occurs. It's very important that when you get a vision, of course, it's something that God wants you to know. Of course, if it's from God, I don't know what percentage could be from Satan, but some of the visions are Satan throws darts. The Bible talks about that. So there is a certain level in which Satan can impend upon your thought process, but God only allows, again, that's common to man as it relates to a lot of things with people. So it's even in the spiritual realm. God does not allow Satan, even stated in the Bible that, you know, God only allows Satan to come towards you that is common to man. So he can't do anything that you don't know, that God didn't have you, you know, wanting to know. Of course, there's a lot of deception. But what throws Satan's deception is having the spirit of truth, right? So to be prepared and do the things of God and learn his word, you will know how to counteract Satan. I mean, it's just that. So anything that Satan comes across, you have a tool to recognize it. But most important, in the book of James, it talks about submit yourself to God and do these things and come closer to draw closer to God, and Satan will flee, right? So it's not the point that you want to prepare for his attacking and all of these things, because what Satan normally does is if he can't get to you, he tries to get to your externals. He gets to other people. And if you understand this, and then you have to be understanding, you know, God will show you these things, but you also pray for those people who you love, and he tries to attack, but he's not going to come close to you, of course. But when you see that, you pray over those things, and then he will have to flee. And then you don't have to worry about him, but you continue to get the word of Christ out. The main message is that what happens is, if you think about, if you're in, say, for example, the sand, or you're walking on the beach, for example, and you see, you know, maybe you see, maybe, I don't know, like a tarantula or something comes towards you, and then it can't get to you, but you can build up, you know, sand dunes for him not to come over. But then eventually, if you continue to build larger and larger sand dunes, he's going to have to come up higher and go around and all these things. So what I'm getting at is that Satan may not be able to get to you, of course, as you continue to do the things of God, but he's going to try to get to other people that affect you. And so as you continue to pray for those people in which Satan tries to get to, then he has to back off there as well. Because we always have to remember that you have already won, in a sense, right? I mean, the power of God, Satan has limited power. And you being a believer of Christ, you have tremendous power and delivery power and a lot of things, even the nine gifts of the Spirit. So Satan, what is in Ephesians, Satan is under your feet. So you can trample on all of these things. So it's not a war. It's not a battle. You don't even have to fight him at all. You have already won. So when you have that, feeling, it's very easy to pray over other people and of course yourself of these things, and they will flee. So what you do is then you make that other person a believer, or you make that other person a person of Christ and have them do the same. So what you'll see is that it's like. Remember that commercial, Don takes grease out of your way, you put grease in the water, and you drop a little Don in and it spreads away? That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. So when the Holy Spirit resides in you, Satan and his demons gets back, but what they try to do is to go through other people to get to you, and then once you spread the word of God to them or to their situation, it leaves. And so once you make that person a believer, and then they spread the situation, and it leaves from them. So what do you have? You start to have this tremendous power of backing Satan and his demons away, and you're getting people delivered. And so that's really the thought process as it relates to as far as what I see. So there's many areas. Sorry, just wanted to interject there. Anyway, so I just want to say thank you for listening. Continue to listen in and call in if you would like. That's fine. Sometimes people say that they don't call in because it looks like I'm more teaching something, and I don't want to be. Hey, call-ins are welcome. No problem at all. I love you all. Anyway, so remember to, I just want to close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now. Continue to listen to mold us and guide us into the things that you want us to do, Father. Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to do the right things as we continue to learn your word. And we repent too as well, Father. We're not perfect. But when we do something that is not right in your eyesight or does not glorify you, we are a witness to what? Go to you, Father. Jesus is our high priest. Go to him and be honest and confess our sins. And as is stated earlier that I said that he is rightful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, as we continue to walk in your will and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So remember, pray every day. Ask for forgiveness for your sins and leave your former ways behind. May God bless you and your family. And I'll see you next time. Love you. And this is from Prophet Casey. Goodbye.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether. to me. King of all day, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created.